Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Kathy, listening in Ogden, Utah. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I have a question for you. I went on a ghost hunt with EMS equipment and stuff like that. I got psychically attacked. I've done everything to get this entity out of my phone, out of my home, and out of me. I'm an empath. I was born that way. And I have had an exorcism out of my home. I have crosses above the door. I wear a cross. I have Mother Mary, as I am Catholic. If you know who the patron saint of Saint Benedict is, I wear him faithfully. You know, the adversary deceives the people. He jumped into my phone, and I'm not joking when I say this.
Literally. Who is he again?
What's that?
Who is he? When you say he jumped into my phone?
Whatever the spirit was.
Okay.
And he has been sexually assaulting me, and there's no medical reason. The doctors have figured out why I'm getting bruised and scratched, and come to find out that it is a demon spiritually attacking me. I've talked to my priest, and the priest has already done an exorcism of my house, and I don't want my last name known because the community that I live in is small. But anyway, my cross turned backwards of Saint Benedict. This entity, I've even saged him out, and he came back.
Okay, let me ask you a very quick question, and I think it's really important, particularly in light of what you've just said. I'll make a statement, then ask a question, actually. The statement is, demons cannot attack you physically. Demons cannot take on physical form. It is true that angels can take on physical form because God has creative prowess. However, it is untrue to say that demons can take on physicality.
I'm getting attacked while I'm sleeping.
Right, but I'm simply saying that demons cannot take on physical form. But the question that I have to ask, with all that you have said as an antidote to the powers of darkness, have you ever attempted to put on the full armor of God?
Yes, I'm a full Christian. I'm a full Christian. I was brought up Catholic.
So how do you put on the full armor of God?
Yes.
So how do you do that?
You pray. I rebuked it in the name of Jesus Christ. I have gone to Mass, devoted, confessed my sins.
Okay, so here's what I would recommend, Kathy. I would recommend a book that I've written called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And I will be happy to send it to you as my gift. What I'm suggesting in that book is that if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. And that not only goes for you, but it goes for all of us. And that full armor of God starts with the power of God to protect, as opposed to the power of Satan to pillage. So Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the whole armor, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And I will not go through all that Paul says with respect to the full armor of God, except to say part of what he says involves taking up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, it's one thing to simply say that. It's another thing to internalize or understand what that represents. I think that you are wise, as you have talked about, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and with that in mind, to be alert and keep on praying, not only for yourself, but for all the saints. I am, once again, recommending that you put on the full armor of God. This is far more important than being involved in superstitious practices. I'm not suggesting that all that you said is superstitious, but certainly some of what you have said is superstitious, and part of that superstition is the notion that Satan can physically attack you. He can, as it were, sit on your shoulder and whisper into your ear. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear. It can be heard with the ear of the mind. He can also instigate other people to attack you. That is certainly true. But Satan does not have physicality. So we don't want to imbibe superstition. We do want to put on the full armor of God so that you can, not may be able to, but you can stand against the devil's schemes. And remember that what Paul is saying is the struggle is not against flesh. It's not against blood, but it's against authorities and rulers and powers in the spiritual realm, in heavenly realms. He's talking about spiritual forces, and thus we put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand. Again, if you hang on, be happy to send you my book as a way of equipping you to understand spiritual warfare in a proper way as opposed to understanding spiritual warfare in an improper sense. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kenneth next in Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, Kenneth.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I have a question. In the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter, verse 2, in the King James Version of the Bible, it said, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad." But all other references, like the NIV, doesn't use the word her. And I'm just curious, who is her?
Well, I mean, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So the her refers to the soul. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. If you read the NASB, it actually translates this as my soul will make its boast in the Lord. But quite frankly, if you go to the KJV, which is the translation that uses the her, you recognize the Hebrew word rendered soul is grammatically feminine. And that's why the translators render this in English as her. This is a literalized English pronoun. Modern English simply renders it as in the modern translations, the NASB, etc. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. I will glory in the Lord is another way of putting this, as the NIV translators put it. But the idea here is that this is the non-physical component of our humanity. It doesn't have a gender. But we can rightly render it her because this is a grammatically correct way of rendering soul because this is grammatically feminine.
Okay, you gave me an answer that I didn't have an answer for because I've been researching and researching. So to cut it short, when they say her, that's just a translation in the King James Version where they put it?
Well, The reason, though, is that the Hebrew word rendered soul is grammatically feminine in the Hebrew language. And therefore, you can rightly, as a translator into the English language, render the word the English her. But that does not mean that the soul has gender.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got
it. So whether you say it's or her or his, the point is the soul does not have gender, and this is not a way of saying that the soul has gender. It is simply a way of taking something in the Hebrew that's feminine and rendering it in the English as feminine.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. When we come back from the break, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We do need many of you to join CRI's support team. You can do that on the web at equip.org. And when you do, I'd be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, to a family member, or to a friend. Your choice. We'll be right back.
The Theology of Illness by Jean-Claude Larcher offers renewed hope by addressing the problem of pain in a profoundly theological framework, seeking the answer to the mystery of illness and suffering through the healing touch of Jesus Christ Himself, the physician of our body and soul. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. There's nothing wrong with good health, but as Professor Jean-Claude Larcher communicates in The Theology of Illness, good health is evil if it contributes to making a person indifferent to his salvation and keeps him away from God by giving him the impression that he is self-sufficient. Provocative and profound, Professor Larcher will challenge the way you view suffering, illness, and what it truly means to be spiritually healthy. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Let's return now to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and going to go back to the phone lines in just a little bit, but let me talk about Black Hebrew Israelism. This is something that I'm asked about quite a bit, something that we've written about in the Christian Research Journal, and the problem with this movement, and it's very, very pervasive, particularly in America, is that it's based on genealogy, the idea being that blacks are Hebrew descendants of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. It's also based on a pervasive racism, the idea that white people are the descendants of Gehazi, or Gehazi, who was cursed with leprosy, and thus he became white as snow. You can read about that in 2 Kings, I think it's the 5th chapter. And that whites are therefore uniformly wicked, unrighteous, rejectors of God. And thus, the Black Hebrew Israelites are called to come out of Babylon. They get that from Revelation chapter 18. In other words, to separate themselves from American culture. But there's another problem. Along with genealogy and racism, you have the modern-day Judaizers, which is to say the Black Hebrew Israelites hold to a strict compliance of Mosaic law, because in their view, the Old Testament has not been fulfilled, and thus salvation is relegated to keeping laws, laws which quite frankly are a burden and are impossible for human beings to fully adhere to. It is laying a burden on people that is more than they can bear. But I think even beyond this, the Black Hebrew Israelites misunderstand plain language. For example, according to some Black Hebrew Israelite adherents, it is misguided to use the term Jesus. So if you use that term, you have made a horrible mistake. Instead, they say it is incumbent upon adherents to use the Hebrew rendering Yeshua. And again, you've heard that when Black Hebrew Israelites call me on the broadcast. You have to use the Hebrew rendering Yeshua. But here's what we need to be able to explain. The inspired New Testament is written in the Greek language. And thus, the Hebrew Yeshua is appropriately rendered Iesus from the Greek. And Jesus, obviously, in the English. Why is this so? It is because the Greek renders the Hebrew Y as an I. And the English renders the Greek I, or iota, as J. And thus the notion that the Hebrew Yehoshua, or its contraction, Yeshua, is the only proper means of identifying the one whom we hold to be Messiah is tragically mistaken. This is something that we ought to communicate, particularly in light of the troubling rappers like Kendrick Lamar, who are today overtly promoting Black Hebrew Israelism, and young impressionable kids, including Christian kids, who think all of this is very, very hip. You know, when the rapper says memorably, "I'm not about a religion, I'm an Israelite. Don't call me black no more." This despite the notorious notion proffered by Kendrick that he is a direct descendant of the true biblical Israelites and that African Americans are justified through keeping Old Testament laws. And of course, there's many other problems with Kendrick Lamar because he has now become a standard fare for a broad range of Americans who rationalize foul language and braggadocio and illicit sex as an almost acceptable aspect of the urban subculture. And so you have this, well, you know, it's not that bad, but what he's communicating is very, very bad, and what he's dragging people into is even worse. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Cheryl in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hank, you had talked earlier about the covering.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the blood of Jesus. When I think of covering, I think of, you know, the blood of Christ all over me. But also, Hank, you notice that I've been diagnosed with a mental illness. And every once in a while, you know, things just really scare me. And I know it says, do not fear, right? We're not supposed to be afraid, and that's not from the Lord. But yet there's things that I see all around me in this town of Calgary that I'll tell you, makes my head shake. And maybe it's just the times, but I'd really appreciate some of your wisdom a little more on the covering
Well, you know, here's what I've tried to point out over the years, is that there's a fascination with demons in the culture at large, but that has now led to so many perversions within evangelicalism itself. And a lot of it has to do with a robust deliverance movement, and one would be hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme, because the idea is whatever your personal problem, if it's depression or anxiety or substance addiction or even a runaway sexual appetite, well, there are exorcism ministries that will happily claim expertise for dealing with it. And there's always the bonus. The bonus is that you, for the most part, are not held personally responsible for your problem. Indwelling demons are mainly to blame, and getting rid of them is the key to moral and psychological redemption. And the problem here is the fascination with the demons in the culture has led to a robust spiritual warfare movement, which is capitalizing on the fact that Christians, by and large, have lost the ability to think biblically. And therefore, the postmodern believer has quickly been transformed from cultural change agent and initiator into cultural conformist and imitator. Another way that I've said this over the year is pop culture beckons, and then postmodern Christians take the bait. And as a result, the discipleship model of spiritual warfare that I was talking about in the first segment has been largely abandoned. And it has been abandoned for all kinds of practices that are unbiblical, and therefore the solutions are not only unbiblical, but inept. And that's why I wrote the book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And yes, there is lots of evil in the world, and I'm not minimizing that, but I'm saying that if you want to deal with it in a biblical way, in the way that the historical church did, you have to recognize the power of putting on the full armor of God, which entails not only understanding it such that you can repeat it, but understanding it in the sense in which those pieces of the armor represent potent power against the evil forces that are readily apparent to you, not only in Calgary, but would be readily apparent to you all over the world. So I think it's important to put on the full armor of God, and then you can take your stand, and after you've done everything to stand. Hopefully that helps. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Stephen in Baltimore, Maryland, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Hank. It's funny, the theme appearing today, because it's all about spiritual warfare. Sort of, my question is, I am a Christian who suffers mental illness, OCD, and other things. And for a while, I thought God was telling me to do things, to do this, the promptings of the Spirit, do that. And they weren't inherently against the Bible, or they weren't inherently wrong, but it certainly messed up my life. And now every single Christian I know, including my pastor, saying, you know, that wasn't God, that's not God. So my question is, at this point, if my brain is how I experience the world and reality around me, and it's ill, or I have mental illness, how do I discern what is true, what is real, what is really a prompting of the spirit?
Well, I think what you have to do is test all things in light of Scripture and then hold fast that which is good. And that testing ought to be taken not in isolation, but within the context of a proper expression of Christianity. In other words, within the body of Christ. And therefore, a priest or a pastor can give good counsel with respect to your situation. But remember, if you have a psychosomatic disorder, oftentimes the solution to the psychosomatic disorder is a medical solution. And so I think you have to look at the possibilities from a spiritual perspective, but also look at the possibilities from a medical perspective.
Yeah, I agree. And I thank you for saying that, Hank. You take care in your ministry. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the show. Again, remember the number to dial to get your questions answered, 888-ASK-HANK. Look forward to answering your questions right here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.